good morning. It is time to have a look at the U.S. nominations. The run to the White House, Elijah from the Gristle, 6:30 on a Friday night here on 2SER 107.3. Joins me, Elijah. Good morning.
Good morning, Mitch.
Now, this is a very important Tuesday that America will soon be experiencing. Not quite as super as Super Tuesday, but still a very important day in the race.
It is indeed. So, March 15 is going to witness five U.S. states going through their primary process. Which again is how each party selects its candidate for the upcoming U.S. presidential election. These states in play are Florida, Illinois, Missouri, Ohio, North Carolina, and there's some islands in the middle of the Pacific North. Northern Mariana Islands are doing a Republican primary. So it's not as big as Super Tuesday, but it's significant because mainly because of Florida, which has a large number of delegates. And importantly, it's winner takes all for Florida.
Okay. So,
yeah, first past the post there.
Now, you're itching to talk about Trump, I can tell.
I've got that Trump itch I can't scratch.
It's a story that never ends. He's really interesting time, I guess, for Donald Trump. A lot of his rallies are getting quite spicy and quite heated, and there's actually been a number of protests at some Trump rallies as well.
So, you know, over the course of the campaign, there have been a number of incidents at Trump rallies, protesters sneaking in and, you know, yelling and shouting and that kind of thing and getting thrown out. Chicago really marked a bit of a turning point where you saw not only more of that, but you saw a lot of protesters out the front really trying to shut down the Trump rally. And the Chicago police basically told Trump that he should cancel it. And there were a lot more scenes of violence. And then the day after in Ohio, Trump was out there on the tarmac. And this guy tried to rush him on the stage, and the Secret Service jumped up and wrestled the guy, and also an African American protester was, sort of being thrown out, and he got punched in the face by this old guy.
Sucker punch.
You know, I love how the US has these terms. So, but of course, Trump comes out today and says that there is no violence at Israelis because that doesn't count as violence.
No.
That's kind of worrying.
It's a sucker punch, no big deal. And so do you think he should be worried? Should he be concerned, or should the public be concerned that, you know, the voters and protesters are creating such a visceral reaction to what he's doing so far?
Yeah, look, I think both within the establishments of both political parties, including the Republicans, there is a lot of concern at, if you like, this sort of violent turn. You know, the U.S. can be a very violent place.
Yes.
And the odd sucker punch is nothing compared to what it possibly could be. So, look, you know, a lot of people are asking Trump to tone it down. But Trump is blaming Bernie Sanders supporters. Bernie Sanders is blaming Trump.
Yeah.
Same with Clinton. So is the GOP, so, you know, the Romneys of the world and the Rubios. So, you know, everyone's looking to take heat out of the campaign except for Donald Trump, because that's why he's so popular among.
And I believe the Republican Party has started playing ads or buying space for ads that are attacking Trump directly.
Yeah.
What do they hope to achieve out of this? Because, I mean, who have they got left really that has any sort of real chance of getting the nomination?
Yeah, look, they are completely packing their dacks on this one. They had thought that Rubio or Cruz would be their candidate to take out Trump, but the GOP base had different ideas, and they love Donald Trump, and there have been these super PACs that have been trying to take out ads, you know, trying to knock Trump off his perch. Nothing's worked.
Yep.
Nothing's worked, and it's like one of those beasts in a video game. The more you attack it, the kind of more powerful it grows.
So we'll talk about the Democrats in a minute, but do you expect Trump to win all five states today?
Yeah, look, he is leading. He's certainly leading in Florida, which is a big deal. Florida's home to Marco Rubio, and it's got a large Hispanic community. So, but, you know, he seems to be doing not that badly among them, so saying that he'll build a wall to keep some of them out doesn't seem to be going down too problematically. Cruz may win in Ohio and some of the white evangelical states, but yeah, I think Trump could almost seal the deal today.
Wow,
not
okay.
Completely, but almost.
Pretty much 90% there. Okay, and let's talk about the Democrats. Bernie's still fighting. The 74-year-old senator from Vermont is still there.
Yeah, 74. I mean, think about it. You know, if he wins, he'd be 82 if he wins two terms when he leaves the White House. Yeah, look, Sanders is definitely still competitive. I mean, just to put some numbers around this for people, so the win number for the Democrats is around 2,400. Yep. Clinton has around 1,200 delegates if you include what are called superdelegates.
Right.
Sanders has only around 560. So Sanders has a big battle ahead, and he's not looking good in Florida, North Carolina, looking a bit more competitive in those Midwestern states, Ohio and Missouri. But, Sanders' big challenge is whether he can cobble together a coalition beyond, if you like, what's been called the sort of white working class vote and some young people that, you know, have dreams in their eyes. So, but, you know, and this actually leads on to an interesting point we were chatting about off air, which is that there's been some research recently that a number of Sanders supporters would actually switch to Trump.
If he didn't win the nomination, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. And look, this isn't, I wouldn't bet your house on this, but some research by The Guardian and other news outlets have identified, in some cases, 1 in 10 Sanders supporters liking Trump over Clinton if Sanders doesn't win, because Trump, again, is this seen as, for some reason, as this anti-candidate.
Changing the game, I guess.
Yeah. Someone who's going to mix it up, which is strange because if you look at both Sanders and Trump, Sanders has been in Congress 30 years. He's part of the establishment like nothing else. Trump has been on the national stage for, you know, probably the same amount of time.
Yeah.
And yet these two candidates seem to have corralled this idea that they're anti-establishment. I mean, you know, I couldn't think of two more establishment figures.
All right. Well, it'll be a fascinating day. We'll have a bit more clearer picture of who will be making the run to the White House probably this time tomorrow, I guess, Australian time. Elijah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Catch Elijah as part of the Gristle 6:30 on Friday nights right here in 2SER 107.3. Catch you next time.
Thanks.